Hey there, if you like the show, if you're digging our podcast, would you mind leaving a review for us wherever you listen to podcasts?
And if your typing fingers feel a little bit too heavy, you can always just give us 5 stars.
Your typing fingers have had a long, hard day and they need a cocktail.
Yeah.
5 stars works too, but reviews are the most effective and meaningful ways to show your support for what we do.
We are so grateful for you, and it's time for the show.
Hello, and welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And I'm Kathleen Martin. And we're just two Kathleens who've recently wallpapered and restyled rooms in their homes.
And in this episode, we're talking about finding your authentic home decor style, how we're feeling about the fails and the successes that we've had in our homes lately, and just sort of discussing how it's okay to wake up and hate your house some days and then other days be deeply in love with it.
Yeah, I think in this episode, we're really sharing that finding your style is a true evolution.
It is.
It comes and goes in waves, and sometimes it could take years to figure out what you love. But when you do,
yeah,
can be gold.
So I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary of living in my house.
Congrats.
Thanks. And I feel only now do I have a clear-cut vision of kind of what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. Because when my previous apartment was, very an old building with a lot of charm and molding and stuff like that. And then I moved into a condo that was kind of blank, you know, like no personality. Mm-hmm. And I went from really liking charm to being like, I have to have everything modern. I live in a blank modern space now. And when I met you, Kathleen, and you started like showing me some of the stuff that you were doing, and you were really more of like an eclectic mix of traditional and funky, I was like, oh, that's the same road that I would like to go down on. And then I copied you.
No, you make it your own, but I feel that deeply. And I say this all the time, but when I was first figuring out the style for my home,
yeah,
there were a lot of tears.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a while before after living in a space to kind of really get the feel and is it weird to say personality of the home?
No, my problem was I lived alone for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I had cultivated a space that I was so happy with. Mm-hmm. Every single inch of that apartment was what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And it took years to get there. And I kind of blocked all that out. I just saw the end result, thrilled, loved it, very girly, very colorful. And then I moved into a home.
Yeah.
So much bigger.
Yeah.
With a man who had opinions. But luckily, those opinions are gone.
I know. I know.
I've worn them down to little nubs and I can do what I want. But in the beginning, I of course want to cater to Brian's taste as well. And I want him to be happy and not hate where he lives. But in the beginning, I was catering to what I thought he wanted so much.
Yes.
I completely lost my own vision and I didn't even know what to do anymore.
I tried to cater to Neil so deeply, I don't know if that's the word that I want, that I have this piece of art to remind me of where I came from. I bought it was like an old timey coffee ad that was turned into a print, and it's like a dog holding a coffee can. And I was like, oh, this is a cool mix. I mean, granted, this was like 2010, 2011. I was like, oh, this is a cool mix of his style and my style. And I look at this now and I'm like, this is absolutely nobody's style. Like, why did I ever buy this?
It's hard to figure out even what you like.
Yeah.
Because we're scrolling on Instagram, and even me personally, I like a lot of styles and I can respect and appreciate a lot of styles.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to be like, I want my home to be coastal. No, no, I want it to be minimal. I want it to be modern. I want it to be colorful. And then I'm like, I'm none of those things. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just nothing and I'm confused.
Well, it takes so much time. So I just posted a reel of my bedroom, and I think the audio behind it is like, if this is your vibe, I want to be friends. And immediately I got a text from my best friend who's like, saw your reel. And I realized that maybe now I need to only work on one room in my house at a time. time. And I said, yeah, that's the strategy that some people take, but it's kind of like the slow evolution of collecting things that you love and things that speak to you over an extensive period of time.
That's the thing. I'm coming up on 3 years, I guess, in my home.
Yeah.
And in some ways I'm like, I've done so much. I'm amazing. And in other ways I'm like, I've done nothing. My house is so unfinished.
Yeah.
There's areas that have been wood puttied for 3 years and now I just have ignored them and forgotten. But what it is a very slow accumulation of things that bring you joy.
Yeah.
And if you want a truly authentic space that is not replicated straight out of a magazine or straight from Target, it's finding things slowly over time.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
So you just put up wallpaper in your living room. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Oh my gosh. It's so hard. But since we both just went through wallpapering, you peel and stick and me traditional, we're putting together a whole ebook to teach you how to do it and to learn our tips and learn from our mistakes.
Yes, we both have so much experience under our belts at this point. I want to share with other people all the things that I wish I did differently right off the bat.
Okay, so Kathleen and I, we both strongly believe in wallpaper.
Yeah.
We're really leaning into it lately. And I personally want to go like hard on wallpaper in the future.
Yeah. I don't think that wallpaper is just having a moment. I think that wallpaper is here to stay.
Mm-hmm. So last year I bought the irregular square pattern from Bell Art Studio. Mm-hmm. I love them. They're from Europe. Everything they create is just really uniquely interesting and I think very curated.
And what the pattern looks like, it's like a traditional, they call it like a window pane pattern, but yours feels like if somebody took the distort tool in Photoshop and like ever so slightly in the most stylish way distorted that window pane pattern.
Right. So it's very irregular, very wavy, and the lines aren't perfect. They're brushy, so it looks handmade.
Yeah. Yellow lines.
Yellow lines.
On cream wallpaper.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very bold, which is something I like. And I did one wall. Loved it, but it always felt unfinished.
Okay, let's talk about wallpaper accent walls for a second.
Okay.
So you had the wallpaper accent wall in your living room for a while. What made you want to paper the rest of the room?
I always wanted to paper the rest of the room, but I couldn't afford it.
Oh, okay. So finally you've got in touch with the brand and you're like, hey, do you want to work together?
Yeah, so I ended up working with Bell Art Studio and they gifted me the remaining three walls. Mm-hmm. So budget is a really big factor with wallpaper.
Yeah.
It's expensive. And I kind of felt like, well, if I can't afford it all, one would be a really cool statement. And I think that can be true for anyone. If you can't afford a huge room, you can do one wall.
Yeah.
But in my dream scenario,
we're
able to afford the whole room.
I mean, accent walls in general, not my favorite, but I have seen some accent walls done so incredibly well that I'm like, oh, that's a genius design decision. I think when you're working with wallpaper, a way that really does justice to a wallpaper accent wall is when you pick a paper that's like, I just am imagining a room with a bed, and behind the bed, there's an accent wall with wallpaper, and the wallpaper is really sort of moody and dark, and the pattern is small and it's a little bit busy. And then the rest of the room is painted almost like an exact solid base shade that the base of that wallpaper is. So it's not like the wallpaper is something totally, completely different than what the rest of the room is painted.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And like any design choice, there's going to be instances where it really works and there's going to be instances where it doesn't. So you just have to do your best with the budget you have and your design aesthetic.
Speaking of design aesthetic, let's pause for a word from our sponsors.
Hello!
It's us again. We want to let you know that we have a whole section on the website where you can shop Kathleen's living room, you can shop my bedroom, and all of the products that we're talking about on the podcast today.
I have a page where you can shop my living room. Yes, some of the items are vintage, so you can't get those, but there's actually a lot of accessories that I have listed where they're exact matches.
Oh, cool.
I've also put in some things similar, like my couch was from a strip different mall.
Oh.
But I found a very similar one on Wayfair.
Yeah. I really like putting together these shopping pages because shopping is my favorite hobby.
We're so good at it.
So what other changes did you make to your living room after you put the wallpaper up? Like, how did it affect the rest of the decor in the room?
Truthfully, yeah. I put it up on two walls, so it's now 3 out of 4. Mm-hmm. And my immediate thought is, I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate it. Change is hard. I curated that room with no wallpaper on the majority of the walls, a specific rug, everything matched and it felt really good. Mm-hmm. And when I changed the wallpaper, it changed everything else.
You couldn't did.
Have the same decor. I couldn't have the same accents because I had a really, really, really busy wallpaper, mm-hmm. and I had to pare a lot of things back. I took everything off the wall, like we've talked about.
Yeah.
And I took many things off my bookshelves, and I had to just kind of start from scratch with styling.
Yeah.
And really asking myself questions of what goes together? What do I want to highlight? What's the story in this room? And the story is the wallpaper, but then what accentuates that instead of what's competing with it? Because you could have really busy art on top of busy wallpaper and then it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
We talk about negative space. If you have a very busy wall, where does your eye go to breathe? Where do you mm-hmm. have gaps in the design? Where yeah. do you have solids instead of patterns and things like that? So I think about design all day, every day. And this is something that took me, I would say, a week to get it to the point where I'm like, okay, I feel good about this. I feel proud of this.
Yeah.
It's styled the way I want it to be.
So when you say it took you a week, that means basically you're like moving around your artwork and testing your decor in different areas of the room and stuff?
Yeah, I took every single piece of art I had and put it in the room on yeah. the ground. I knew the layout I wanted for my gallery wall. I wanted to keep it the same structure as what I had before the wallpaper.
Yeah.
But when I put the old artwork up, I didn't like it anymore.
Gotcha.
But I had the nails in the wall. And I knew, okay, so this is an 8x10. And, you know, I knew the sizes.
Oh, of what was hanging there before.
Yeah. So then I took every single piece of art, looked at it for a week.
Yeah.
And just kept swapping things.
Mm.
And do you know, in the end, I chose a nude figure drawing I did in college.
Mmm, saucy.
And at first I was like, I don't know, Brian probably won't like this. He's never once commented. I don't think he's noticed.
Maybe he has noticed and maybe he's enjoying it.
Secretly.
So I think that it's important to talk about how you put all of your artwork on the floor and you switch things around for a whole week because I have a card catalog in my living room, which is, you know, very old piece, lots of antique characteristics to it. I think it's from the 1920s.
It's awesome.
Thank you. And next to a 9-drawer restoration hardware dresser that I have, mm-hmm. very modern, not a lot of character. And these two pieces next to each other, they just look totally wrong. Mm. And when I put them together, I was like, nah, this doesn't work. But I left them together. And just the process of leaving them next to each other, I now know. Why are you laughing at me?
Why are you laughing? I'm just thinking of them as like real objects. You're like, they didn't work, but I left them together and they fell in love.
It's like when you're fighting with your siblings and your mother is like, I'm going to put you both in a room together and you're going to play with each other and you're going to be nice.
I'm going to put you in the fighting t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, now I realize like to make it a more cohesive look, I need to change out the hardware on the dresser that I use as my media console to reflect more character in the card catalog. And then I'll see how that works and then move on from there.
Great idea.
So one of the accounts that Kathleen and I both love on Instagram, home_ek_op, and we will put all of the Instagram accounts that we talk about today in the show notes, but her name is Natalie Papier, P-A-P-I-E-R. She's based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Her account is jewel-worthy. It is dreamy. And she does a really good job of having really cool, interesting stuff, busy rooms that don't necessarily feel overwhelming when you're looking at her posts.
Natalie's a huge inspiration for me. She is somebody that I have followed for years. I followed her when she had her old home. She's moved since I've been following her. She's a decorating genius in my mind because she mixes pattern and color and modern and vintage and art. She's very art centric. She supports artists.
Yeah.
And when I'm like, how could I take this a step further? What are like the best of the best doing? I definitely look to Natalie.
One of my favorite things about her home is the coral ceiling in her dining room. Oh my God, it's so gorgeous. What were we talking about the other day where we were looking at someone's kitchen that they were redoing on Instagram and, you know, it was very trendy. And then we started talking about Natalie at home underscore ek underscore op. We started talking about her kitchen.
We were talking about her pink cabinets. So yeah, yes. Natalie does something interesting. She will often keep a white wall, but do a very bold ceiling.
Yeah.
It's creating that like, so the walls you kind of can breathe and the artwork stands out, but you're having that really large area of color on the ceiling. But something she did really well in her kitchen is her kitchen cabinets are a very, very light pink.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like different and interesting, but also on first glance could almost read white.
Yes.
So it's not like doing a bright fuchsia or a teal or a yellow. It's like, oh, that's just like a little twist on a traditional cabinet.
Natalie is the boss when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
A little twist. And I feel like that's when you get closer to figuring out what your personal style is, when you become more comfortable with those little twists. Then your style is like emerging from the ground like a tulip. Hello, I'm here.
I think designing a colorful room is the most challenging. And actually, Natalie Papier has a TV show.
Yes, artfully designed on the Magnolia Network. I've seen every single episode.
Yes, with two other favorites, Rachel Jackson at Banyan Bridges and Frankie Zombie. And they show how hard it is to actually pull together a colorful room while keeping it cohesive because people feel like it's random.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not, the formula is always the same. And I think that's why you see a lot of neutral and minimal design.
Because it's much easier.
It's much easier.
But let's not poo-poo naturals. I've been in some really cool neutral blush-toned rooms that I was in awe of.
I probably shouldn't say it's easier.
Yeah, maybe easier is not the word that we want to use.
Yeah, any room to make it look really complex and interesting, it's always going to be a challenge. But say if you're working with only neutrals, creams, white, and black, you have about, you know, five different colors.
Yeah.
And if you repeat that in every single piece of furniture, accent, styling, frame, there's whole brands that only have neutral color palettes because it's easy to find something that's going to match. But for my living room, I mean, it's always this repetition. And that's what I'll say to anyone. If you want a design to work, no matter what the color palette is, you have to repeat it. So my couch is gold and so is the wallpaper. And then I have a big blue chair and I have blue accents and I have an orange rug and I have orange vases. It's like, where is that color being repeated throughout the room? Is it balanced? Is that color only on one side and nowhere else?
Yeah.
Things like that.
You know, I recently purchased this book that I love every time Kathleen and I come into our office. Kathleen can do it headquarters. I bring this book with me. I'm obsessed with it. It's called Big Thrift Energy by Virginia Shamley. And on Instagram, her name is at V Shamley, C-H-A-M-L-E-E. And what I like about this book is that her whole thing is thrifting, which you and I are both champions of. But also, she breaks down how to figure out what your personal style is. And she says, basically, it's all about doing the research, making yourself familiar with terms like Hollywood Regency, mid-century modern. I know, Kathleen, you're a fan of postmodern, art deco, arts and crafts. And in this book, she gives pictures of items from these different design movements. So you can really see the difference between a chair that's traditional versus a chair that's more bohemian. And to me, this book really just embodies everything that a beginner designer needs to know.
It's such a cool book. And when you know those terms, you could search them on Pinterest or on Instagram and see more examples of that style that you like.
So I really like the podcast Design Time from Domino Magazine.
Yeah.
And I don't know who said it. Maybe it was the host of the podcast, but I think it was a big designer that she was interviewing. They said that they give themselves a design education by going on websites and apps like First Dibs mm-hmm. or Cherish and just looking at what's on there.
Yeah.
Looking at the title of things, looking at what's considered really expensive and what eras they're from and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's smart.
So Virginia Shamley, she has this section in the book where she says, shop things that feel authentic to you.
Yeah, her book is awesome. Her Instagram's awesome. And the whole thing is about thrifting.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was thinking about this episode. Kathleen was like, oh, let's talk about our bedroom and our living rooms and kind of how people can replicate it or things like that. And I was thinking, I'm like, one of my number one design goals is to create a room that someone cannot replicate. In the sense that I try very hard to make it different, mm-hmm. but I also try very hard to buy secondhand, vintage, yeah. unique, thrifted pieces mm-hmm. that I can't give you the like it to know it because I got this from somebody's grandma's house,
yeah.
you know, in the basement. And that's something that Virginia does really well. She finds super unique thrifted items that make your house sing. Mm-hmm. People walk in and it's just like, it lights them up and lights your home up because it's so unique.
Yeah. She thrifted this mirror with a wooden frame. And when you look at it horizontal, it's a dog bone.
Mm.
I think it came from like a vet's office that closed up or something. But she hangs it vertically and just looking at something and figuring out a different way to display it in your home turns it into a completely new object.
So cool. Another easy way to start figuring out your personal style, if you're on Instagram all the time like us, is to start saving posts in folders. And they let you name that folder.
Yes.
So just put like home inspo or living room inspo. Save everything you like,
mm-hmm.
but then you have to whittle it down because like we said, we like a lot of things.
Yeah.
But the main thing you really need to focus on once you save them is like, what's the common theme?
Yeah.
Is it the colors that I'm liking? Mm-hmm. Is it the furniture? Is it the textures? Is it the patterns? And trying to find that thread.
Yes.
That ties through everything.
For me, I find that the most useful thing when I'm trying to design a room that feels cohesive, I really like using a mood board. I use Photoshop because I'm a graphic designer and that's what I find easiest. But I know a lot of people have been doing mood boards for their homes with Canva.
Oh, yeah. I definitely recommend.
And obviously Pinterest, but kind of with Canva, I like that it lets you cut items out of their background. Mm-hmm. So you can pull a picture of a chair from Wayfair, cut out the background, and then put it on top of a rug that you also like to see how these items look together. I think that is probably the most helpful thing when you're trying to figure out the style of your room. And it's kind of like trying on wedding dresses. Like when I was getting married, I tried on so many wedding dresses because there were dresses that I was like, oh, I'm absolutely going to love this one. It's the one. I would say that to myself before getting to the store that day. And then I put it on and I kind of be like, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes for home styling. Like put all the items together on one document, in one Canva image and see how everything feels together because you may realize all of these like little items, this rug, this couch, this chair that you've been coveting, they actually don't look that good together.
So pro tip to remove the background in Canva, that is a premium feature.
Oh.
It's not free.
Yeah.
So the website remove.bg is an excellent background removing website.
Mm-hmm.
You can just copy and paste into the website and then copy out again. You don't actually even have to download. It's because sometimes I'm worried about downloading onto my computer from like weird sites.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's super handy. So if you go to Wayfair, find a bed, copy it into remove.bg, mm-hmm. and then you can paste it into Canva if you do not pay for their premium subscription.
And one of the main reasons why I like to mood board before I start a design project is that I always forget the thing that you are reminding me to do. What is it?
Make sure colors repeat throughout your room.
Yes, pull colors from other things. So in my bedroom, my bed frame is blue. It's performance velvet from West Elm in the color Petrol. But when I think I ordered it, it was called Lagoon or something. I wonder why they changed the names of their fabrics even when it's the same color.
I don't know. That seems like a downgrade of a name.
I know. Petrol, that doesn't scream like a beautiful peacock blue to me. And I am lucky to have a friend who works for a textile company that makes bedding. So she gifted me some samples that they were trying to get rid of these really cool India green sheets with little white flowers. And India green is like one step brighter than forest green. Hmm. And these Euro shams in this Kelly green velvet, which is great because they pull from my green nightstands.
Yeah.
And then the wallpaper that I put on the wall from Temp Paper, we'll link it on the website, has all of these different shades of blue sapphire. And then my friend also gifted me this really cool pink quilt in this like geometric pattern, but I had it on the bed and I had gold curtains and I sent the picture to you and I'm like, why can't I make this work? And you were like, because pink isn't pulling from anywhere and gold isn't pulling from anywhere. And I was like, duh. No wonder I can't do a cohesive look. Added some pink pillows, added some pink curtains. Ta-da.
Yeah, it's all about that repetition. There's one more account that I want to talk about that does that really well. It's Deeply Madly Modern.
Oh, wait, I got to look this up. I don't know if I know this one.
She really inspires me. And this goes back to trying to find your aesthetic and what you like and what you want your home to look like. Because I'm into a lot of styles of decor, and Deeply Madly Modern excels at mixing different styles.
Ooh.
She does all these really cool pieces of furniture, postmodern, and so many amazing thrifted items.
Oh, she has really cool style. Look at that corner. The walls are white, but she's got this giant painting and the yellow chair and the glass coffee table with that really, I don't even know what it is, some sort of brown sculpture. It looks really cool.
She finds really interesting sculptures that I probably would pass up.
Yeah.
And sometimes things like that where I say, would I pick that up at a flea market or a thrift store? And if the answer is no, but I'm liking it in her space, just trying to like think deeply on that.
Yeah.
What am I liking about her curation of these pieces that makes me just stop in my tracks and be like, holy cow, so cool. I want to be her friend.
Yes, that kind of mindset makes you a better thrifter. I'm looking at her account right now. She works with a lot of primary colors. She pulls from her green couch into her dining room because she has chairs in there that are the same shade of green.
Kathleen, those are secondary colors, former art teacher, just telling you.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're not. Green is not a primary color.
What? No. Red, yellow, blue are primaries.
Oh, those are the only primary colors? I thought the whole rainbow was a primary color.
Girl, no. Purple, orange, green are secondary colors. You mix primary colors to get secondary colors. Come on.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. This is what I love about Instagram and the way that Instagram influences design. It's definitely made me a better designer. Mm-hmm. And just seeing the way that other people style things that once upon a time I would have been like, ew, that's trash.
Oh my gosh. Can't say that. No, I take inspiration from Instagram all the time. I think it's easy to feel overwhelmed or jealous of Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need to stop, look, analyze, figure out why you like it, and decide how you can emulate that in your own home.
Is there anything that you're unhappy with in your living room? Like, is it done or hashtag never done?
Done. No, I have a diaper row and blinds that we talked about.
Yeah.
I take them down all the time to take photos. And then at nighttime, Ryan's like, where are those blinds? Like, yeah, sorry, you gotta put them back up. No, it's not done. There are certain views that are done.
Yeah.
I typically, on a good day, will get to a 90% finish rate. That's like really high. Like, my kitchen's been like at like 80 for 2 years.
Yeah.
So
don't feel bad. My kitchen's been at 20% for almost 2 years.
How long have you not had any kitchen cabinet doors?
When did I take them down? October.
Because it was for the one room challenge for fall.
It was for the one room challenge for fall that I never finished. And then I didn't re-enroll in the one room challenge for spring. But I think that this coming fall might be. No, I got to get them done before this coming fall.
No, you got this. Well, I mean, I'm a year on no lights in the kitchen.
That's
so
right. That's right. Oh,
and
my God.
I did the kitchen for one room challenge twice.
That's, oh my goodness. And you're still only 80% of the
and
way
there's
there.
Still no lights.
It takes time. It takes time.
And let me say, I did an Instagram post the other day, a reel, where I said, I've forgotten how to live in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Every ounce of energy mentally in every weekend second goes into DIY renovating my home.
Yeah.
To the point where it was bringing me misery.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Not at all times, but at certain times, because I didn't know how to relax. I didn't know how to sit in my home and appreciate how far it's come. I didn't know how to turn off. Anytime I relax, it felt like being lazy from working on a DIY project that I haven't finished.
I completely understand that. And I would like to share with you yesterday after I hung up this cute little disco ball hanging planter that I got on Etsy. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the disco ball kind of like reflect the sunlight around the room. And I'm sitting on my couch and it was a rainy day and I had a little lamp, a little cocktail lamp lit. So there was like, you know, layers of light in the room. And I was like, you know what? 2 years, I finally feel like I'm moving in the right direction.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
You know, it takes time. You know, like that. I too sometimes forget how to live in my house, but it's like those moments when you have this really nice view of these things that you have thoughtfully put together, you pat yourself on the back and say, not so bad.
Yes. So we want to say, if you are out there and you don't have any idea what your style is, today is a good time to start.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you know where you want to go like we do and you're not there yet, that's okay too.
Yeah.
It takes time. Give yourself grace and give yourself credit for how far you've come.
And just buy things that speak to your heart.
Yeah. Buy things that make you happy.
Like a lamp shaped like a walrus.
Mm.
Or a rug with mushrooms on it.
Where are these coming from?
Or curtains with goats riding bicycles.
Get out of here.
I every time I need to buy something, I just Google whimsy and then something that I want to buy.
Perfect. Foolproof.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can find us everywhere at Kathleen Can Do It.
If you want to follow me, Kathleen Martin, it's at Create a Colorful Life.
And me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color. Send us an email with your design predicaments or just like something that you have going on in your house. Our email address is hello@KathleenCanDoIt.com.
Don't forget to join our Facebook group. Fun things are happening. What's going on this week?
Oh, Christy was talking about tiles for her entryway.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt was asking about Sherman Williams cashmere paint finish.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then Contractor Colby was like, it's a beautiful finish, but it's not great if you have kids and you're always going to have to be cleaning your walls.
I didn't know that.
I know, right? The group is so collaborative. If you are decorating your home or you're interested in DIY, head over to Kathleen Can Do It on Facebook and join our group there.
Leave us a voicemail. No one leaves us voicemails. We want to hear your beautiful voice.
We do.
Our number is 201-378-3378. Every time I say this, I have a moment of fear. I'm like, what if I'm saying the wrong number? And that's why we don't get any voicemails.
That's so, that would be a total Kathleen move.
Because you always trust me and I think I memorized it, but I haven't checked.
You know what? Wait, I say Kathleen move, I say myself, but also probably you too.
Absolutely.
And don't forget, if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.